Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a sermon series titled Spiritual Disciplines. If you have any questions about our sermon podcast or North Valley Church, you can reach us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Good morning. Yeah. So adding to the list of things you get to know about Dan Housum, I don't think I've ever shared this at North Valley before. This is a medal. Under Armour's Baltimore Marathon, October 18th, 2003. It's difficult to look at me today and go, wow, you ran a marathon? Okay. I'm looking at him like, oh my gosh, it's like 20 years ago. But I did successfully complete the Baltimore Marathon 19 years ago. When I think back about it, you know, when it's like 26 miles. So I finished the marathon and then I walked with a limp for like 6 weeks, right? It's part of making it. Leading up to the marathon, you just don't wake up and go, I think I'm going to go walk 26 miles or run 26 miles. I ran most of it. There is this wall at like mile 17 and a half, 18. Something happened and yeah, I walked most of the last several miles. But you don't wake up and do that. And you don't decide to do that. When somebody in my shape, if I were to decide to do that again today, and it happened when I did that, I decided way long before the day of the marathon that I wanted to run a marathon. You do your thing, you do your research, and you find a marathon training plan. What are the things you need to do so that you can show up on October 18th and have a really good chance of making it all 26 miles? And so months, like there was a three-month training plan of, I was already regularly running, but how do I get from running 3 miles every couple of times a week to being able to run 26 on one day? That curve required lots of training, right? So you're going 26 miles. So the practice runs are 20-mile runs, right? The commitment was kind of a big deal, right? There's some of you are like running, you are out of your mind. And you want to do it better. You want to do it for 26 miles? The training, the practice, just to be able to go do it on that day, there was a 20-mile training run, right? So look at me. I'm not built for speed, okay? I made it, but I don't run fast. When I was doing good, doing the marathon, I was running like 12-minute miles, right? So think about a 20-mile training run. That's a 4-hour commitment. Right? When was the last time you woke up and said, I think I'm just going to go run for 4 hours? Right? When was the last time you had 4 hours that you would go run? The day after the marathon, Millie's like, I'm really glad that you finished that. I know it meant a lot to you. If you would like to do that again, we need to talk about the training schedule. Because, right, that was 1 4-hour commitment. I did that for 3 months leading up to the marathon. If you want to do big things, it requires investment before you get there. If you want to do big things like run a marathon, there is tons of training and time invested in being able to do the thing you want to do. You probably, right, if you want to get a better job, you go to school, you do training things so that you can have a better job. There are things that we know, if I want to make an improvement, I make an investment to be able to do that. Have you ever thought about your spiritual life? Have you ever thought about the things that maybe God is putting on your heart that maybe I want to be able to get here? If we've got a goal, a mindset, it's just make the obvious observation. For me to get from wherever I am to wherever it is I want to be, or maybe God wants me to be, there's going to be training involved. At church, we throw around this word, spiritual disciplines. If I could have the next slide. I always want to break it down for a moment. The word spiritual, this is just out of Merriam-Webster, these first two words. Spiritual, of, relating to, consisting of, or affecting the spirit. The spirit, incorporeal. Right? Incorporeal just simply means it's not physical, it's not flesh. There's something non-tangible about the spirit side of things. Discipline, a definition for discipline is training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties, or moral character. Right, so let's put those two words. Now, this is Dan taking those two definitions and putting them together. Spiritual discipline is training or practice that molds my spiritual nature. So, for the next few months, we're going to be using the words spiritual discipline. And what that is what are the things that I'm doing? What are my training and practice routines so that I can run the marathon? So that my spirit is ready to do the thing God wants me to do. We just don't show up, right? I can't show up and go, I can't be working as a computer programmer at Amtrak and walk in and go, I think I'm going to replant North Valley Church, right? Being able to show up and replant North Valley Church required much investment of spiritual disciplines on my part, years. Right? I can go back. God was working on me for easily 10, 15 years, getting me to a point so that I could be ready to take that step. I have a friend, haven't spoken to him in a while, but he got a thing that he wanted to plant a church. We weren't together, we didn't hang out a lot, but we would keep in touch, meet for breakfast every once in a while. And he's telling me that he went to the Southern Baptists and signed up for their planter training program, and I'm going through the stuff, doing a bunch of tests. Although he was kind of excited about being able to plant a church. In his current situation, he was not regularly attending a church. He was not engaged in a church, leading, preaching, serving. He wasn't doing any of those things. And he thought that somebody was just going to come alongside of him and go, oh, yeah, we're going to give you a bunch of money and support and let you plant a church without having made any of the investment ahead of time. Maybe God's calling you to do something big, like plant or replant a church. Recognize from here to there is going to be a lot of spiritual discipline. Maybe God's calling you to start a new ministry. A couple of months ago, Cindy Wingood got to stand up here and go, God laid something on my heart. The journey from wherever Cindy was to be able to say, I'm leading the Beacon ministry, was a lot of investment of spiritual disciplines on her part. In October, we're going to be talking about another new ministry we're going to get off the ground. And Mary Mitchell's going to drive the boat. I'm going to be shooting the flares up about this. She's going to be leading a prayer ministry. I can tell you that the journey from wherever she was to wanting to be able to lead that ministry has involved much prayer, which is a spiritual discipline, but it involved lots of other spiritual discipline too. What are the things that God might be calling you to do? Maybe you struggle with, I want to be able to live in a manner so that other people see Christ in me. I want to be able to do things and live in a manner so that I can affect people around me with the love of Jesus Christ. If you don't feel like you're there today, I am telling you the journey from where you are to where you want to be involves spiritual disciplines. What are the practices you are doing at yourself at home to be able to put yourself in a place so that God can use you in the way he wants to use you? Just simply sharing your faith. Lots of people get uptight about, I don't know what to say. I'm afraid I'm going to ask a question. Blah, blah, blah. There are things you can do to work through the fears, right? That's one side of it. But the other side is answer your own questions. If you're not sure how to answer a question, well, then ask yourself and do some investment. Spend time investigating God's word. Spend time praying. Spend time hanging out with other Christians who are doing it so you can watch it. What are the things that you are doing so that you can get to where it is you and God want you to be? At the end of the day, God has designed us to be people in his kingdom. Everybody sitting in this seat has a place to be, a place that we fit in. God's calling us to do something. For us to get to wherever it is we are, and we ain't done yet. If we're still here, we're not done yet. We're not there yet. If we're still here and you are still looking for and wanting to go to the place God wants you to be, I'm letting you know, I'm being completely honest, the journey there is this: your own personal spiritual disciplines. What are the practices and training that you're doing to set yourself up to be used by God in the way he designed you to be, for us to simply become the people he wants us to be? So if you're a theologian, philosopher, dude like me, there's a guy named Soren Kierkegaard. I'm a fan of his. His mindset is we can work at trying to be good people if we want, but we will only become the best version of ourselves if we are in Christ. Being in Christ is the only journey, only way, only path for us to be the best version of who God made us to be. This idea of spiritual disciplines, things we do, is so that we can be the best version of ourselves, putting ourselves in a place, being the vessel that God can use to accomplish what it is that he desires for us. And again, if you're here using up oxygen like me, God's not done with you yet. There's more to do. There's more fun stuff to do. Most of it's fun. Let's read into a bit of a passage out of Philippians 2. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you got an outline and you're taking notes, underline those words. Work out. I'm taking the pun. Double meaning. Yeah, baby. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So let's pull apart some big ideas in there. Paul, the writer of this letter to the church in Philippi, is pointing out, hey, there is more to salvation than the moment you accept Christ. That there's a follow-on, a list of things that ought to be happening. And he calls it working out his salvation, working out our salvation. And I'm going to lean into that English translation this morning. It's a workout. What are we supposed to be doing? So let's make sure we're clear on some theological terms for a moment. He uses the word work out your salvation. He's not saying that there's something incomplete about your salvation, and if you don't do something, it's not finished. Our salvation happens when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's already accomplished for us on the cross. Our salvation happens when we recognize, I can't do this on my own. I've spent most of my life trying that. It didn't work out for me, and so I'm trying it Jesus' way now. I recognize that as I do things, I struggle and fail, and it's very unsatisfying. But when I started to say, because I can't do it on my own, Jesus has something that I need. I need forgiveness for all the things I mess up, the things I messed up in the past, the things I'm going to mess up today, the things I'm going to mess up this week. My sin, I need to be able to deal with that, because right now it's in between me and my relationship with God. But when I put my faith and trust in who Jesus is, recognize that He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who died on the cross sinless to be able to pay the price for my sins. When I put my faith and trust in that, I receive His forgiveness. My sins are dealt with, and I can renew and refresh my relationship with God. It opens the door for me to be in Christ so that I can be the best version of myself, the way God always meant for me to be. Cooler yet, when He rose from the dead 3 days later, He demonstrated, I'm saying all this, guys, and I'm showing you, I have power and authority over sin and death. If you could put your faith and trust in me, a lot of churches, Bible uses the words Lord and Savior. If you like those words, you can say Lord and Savior, but we don't tend to say those in regular conversation. I like the words forgiveness and leader, right? I receive my forgiveness in Christ when I put my trust in His work, not my own. And at that moment, I start to say, I want to follow Christ. I want Him to be my leader. And when that happens, I'm changed. There's a change that happens inside me. I get a free pass to heaven for eternity. Yes. But I also receive the Holy Spirit inside me for me to start to live in Christ. I don't get it right day zero, but it gives me the tools. It gives me His presence so that I can start moving in that direction. If you've never done that before today, man, let's make today the day. Let's not stay in this place where we're separated from God, struggling, not being able to know what the best goals are and finding ways to achieve them in a way that's healthy for us and the folks around us. I mean, if you are struggling with that, come talk to me after the service. And we can talk about what the next steps are. If you're ready to say, I want to do it Jesus's way. I want to be the most I can be having Christ in me. I would love to talk to you after the service. If you don't think you can do that today, you can always send an email to info@nvcmd.org. I was this close to wrapping that, okay? It's coming, folks. But let's not leave today without realizing there's something bigger for me, cooler. I cannot just struggle with my goals. I can be part of God's bigger plan. I can start doing and thinking and living in God-sized ways. It's an amazing way to go through life. I don't understand how people without Christ make it. Exactly. Our salvation happens at the moment we decide to follow Christ. In this passage, Paul is talking about the days after that. That there's another word, you could say you are justified before God in event. In the event when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that event justifies you before Him. He now sees you without sin. Christ has taken your sin, and He wants to have an open relationship with you. There's another word we can use called sanctified, where justified happens in the moment I trust Christ, but then that begins a journey where I am becoming the person God meant for me to be, and I'm constantly growing and learning, getting rid of the things that don't belong there, adding in the things that I didn't have before, so that I can be the person God always meant for me to be, that I can achieve the goals for His kingdom, the big stuff that I had never been able to figure out on my own. That's what Paul is talking about when he says, work it out. Getting from here and to achieving being the person God meant for us to be is a training process. It's not an event. You can't go to a conference, a weekend conference, go home with 7 points and say, all right, this is it. It just simply doesn't work that way. It's a lifestyle. It's a training process. It's something that you start and you'll do it for the rest of your life. After a while, you start to realize, I mean, all of us go through the seasons, right? All right, yeah, I'm really on fire for God. I'm doing lots of cool stuff. Yeah, yeah, I'm running out of time. Maybe I'll skip it today. Oh, yeah, I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then we slide off the thing and we realize, oh, I've stopped my routines and now I feel terrible. Yeah, things are train wrecking and I've been making poor decisions. Oop. Get back on. Everybody does that. Today's an opportunity for us to go, what do my spiritual disciplines look like? What do I need to do so that I am moving in the direction, becoming the person, achieving the goals that God has always meant for me? I did a little research. When you go to the Bible, I can't open up church organization spiritual disciplines chapter 4 and see what the list is. It's not presented that way. It's something we recognize in God's Word, but it's not something clearly defined in the Bible. Hence, Christianity and various parts of Christendom come up with amazingly different lists. I was going to stack them, but I left some of the books at home. I bought like 6-7 books on spiritual disciplines because I'm like, where is there a clear definition of that? And every one of those books had a different list. It was, some of them were completely wacky. I would not recommend people reading them. There were some written by people who I knew and respected, and I'm like, okay, I like you, but your list doesn't make sense, and none of them agreed. So I'm just being transparent with you. When we talk about spiritual disciplines, people come away with different kind of ideas of what spiritual disciplines are. So over my life, these four things have just bubbled up to the top. I have, for years, encouraged people, when you become a follower of Christ, these four things are the things you need to be starting to think about and starting making them part of your routine of how you live. Prayer, Bible study, and worship and serving. If you can start intentionally incorporating those, it will start equipping you. It's the training. Those things are training processes. Those things, if we do them well, they become the tools, the practices, the routines that help us be all that God wants us to be. So I'm just going to, we, in the coming months, we're going to be doing some short series. In October, we're going to be doing a 4-week series on prayer. We're going to be talking about prayer for 4 weeks. The last sermon of that series, I'm just shooting up a flare. The last sermon of that series is titled, Not a Normal Sunday. It's not going to be your traditional Dan up here yakking with his Bible for 30 minutes, expositing a piece of scripture. We are going to pray. We're going to take a Sunday service and pray. And we're going to take the 3 weeks leading up to that to equip us so that we have some idea of what it is that I'm going to challenge your goals and vision of what you think prayer is supposed to be. Let's step into that. In Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. If you're a note taker, underline the words in the Spirit. I mean, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I want us to challenge us for a moment on that. I don't think God wants us to not pray for anything. If you like go buy a lottery ticket and pray over it and say, God, please let me win this lottery ticket. I'm way cool with that. Right? We don't have because we don't ask. Ask. Ask for anything that you think you need to. At the end of that verse, Jesus wrapped up those kinds of prayers with, but your will, not mine, but I'm okay with asking. But when we pray those kinds of prayers, we're not praying them in God's spirit, we're praying them in our flesh. I want $1 million. You can go ahead and pray that. It may or may not be in God's will for you to have that. But what would it look like to pray in God's spirit so that I'm not asking him for things that I want, I'm actually asking him for things he wants. What does that look like? Another thing we do with prayer is we show up with lists. We show up with lists and say, these are the 10 things I know I need to pray for today. What if I said those lists, for most of us, are the worst distraction in your prayer life? They are the things that take you away from what you really should be seeking in your prayer life. What if I said instead of seeking God's hand, we seek His face? What would prayer look like? How would we be changed in our prayer if in my prayer time, my focus was to seek God's face and not just simply show up with a shopping list? What does that even look like? I'm going to give you a little intro. God gives us some open doors of what His face looks like in His Word. What does it look like to start your prayer time with this and allow that to guide the agenda? Take a look at those words. If you're an underliner, I'm very excited about the words be alert. And what if that means to be alert in your prayer time? That during your prayer time, you are actually paying attention to what God wants to share with you. What it is He wants to lay on your heart. Instead of showing up and this and this and this and this and this, Jesus' name, amen. What if you said, wow, God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What would it mean to do that and then sit quietly and let the Lord be your shepherd? And have Him talk to you about the things you think you've been wanting, but that as He comes alongside you, you realize, maybe I don't need that. Maybe what I really need is Jesus. I said that, and I'm at the training conference to be certified as a North American Mission Board church replanter, right? So I'm in this room with a full of church planters. They are all there to get approved, because they need money, they need people, they need resources, da, 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 so that they can plant their church the way God. They're all there because we want the money. That's why I was there. I want the money, right? Part of our training was we had to preach a six-minute sermon. So I preached on those couple of verses out of Psalm 23, and I started with, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. And I told a room full of church planters, we are all here because we think we need more people, a better space, and money to make our church work. What if all we really need is Jesus? Sort of stopped in the show and made everybody quiet for a moment. I got an A on that part of my test. What would that look like? How would it change us if we entered all of our prayer times seeking God's face first? We're going to take a month and talk about that. And on October 23rd, we are actually going to do that. Seek God's face together. We're going to spend 3 weeks getting it together. All right. Prayer. What would it look like if we did Bible study a little different? Romans 12:2. Anyone have a life verse? This is a verse that I sort of centered my life on. Anyone do that? Wow, I must be really old. Okay, I have one. So I've got a few life verses. This used to be a very core life verse for me. So I should be able to do it without reading it, right? Because I've memorized. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to test and approve His will. Is good and perfect and pleasing will. It was pretty close. Thanks. Renewing of our mind, right? Sometimes we turn Bible study, devotional time, as a check off. All right, I did that today. I can check that off my list. Woohoo! And for some of us, we're just building habits. If you're building a habit of having daily Bible time, cool, that's where you are, building a habit. But what if we started to think about our Bible time, that the purpose of the time I spend in God's Word is to transform me? That when I'm done reading and studying my Bible, there is something different about who I am. It kind of changes how deep you dig, doesn't it? It sort of makes us go, am I asking questions that even challenge who I am, so that I can be transformed? in the coming months, we're going to do another short series about Bible study and what does it look like to be able to study your Bible in a way that it changes us. It's going to be something deep. I'm cool with building patterns and routines, and I'm talking to my friend Terry Halley. He recently said, I'm just reading through this big chunk of the Bible, the whole thing or just the New Testament or the whole thing. He wants to read through the whole thing because there's value in getting the breadth of the story. And when you can see it all at one time, there's something powerful about that as well. So I'm not saying you got to go slow. I'm not saying you got to go fast. I'm saying that when you're doing it, are you doing it in a way thinking that my goal here is that I be changed by what I'm doing? Not just come up with answers for the class, but that it changes me. What would it look like if my Bible study time that I'm planning, my personal study time, my time in my small groups, that I've got things and routines in my life, training routines that transform me by studying God's Word? What about worship? Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. What would it look like to worship God in spirit and truth? I love that verse, but we wrestle with what that means. What does it mean to worship God in spirit? Again, what does it mean to pray with God in His spirit? Worshiping in His spirit means I'm somewhere close to standing in His will. It means I'm in a place and doing the things that I think God wants me to do the best of my ability. And then I'm honest and I'm transparent about who I am. When you think about the kind of worshipers, worship, spirit, and truth, worship really doesn't have anything to do with music. We codify worship in church settings by cool songs and playing them well. But there's something else about what worship really means. That there's a moment where I get rid of all of who I am and I humbly submit myself to who God is and the role I want Him to have in my life. And as I move in that attitude of humility and submission, it becomes a moment of worship. I can worship God doing anything. We do it with music, but it doesn't have to be with music. And when we do it with, I'm just going to take a moment here. And when we do it with music, it doesn't need to be perfect. If we work really hard on playing a song perfectly, who are we focused on? Me. I want to play the song well enough so that I can relax and worship God. If I'm stressed out about playing it perfectly, I'm not focusing on who God is. I want you to think about that as you consider what your worship looks like. And remember that worship isn't a cool song or doing things perfectly. Worship is my attitude of humility and submission that He is great, I am less. And I'm acknowledging that to Him. I can do that with words. I can do that with service. I can do that in my prayer time. I can do that with music. It's fun to do it with music because we get to do it very corporately together, right? And some of us get full body motion. Maybe we can get full body motion, right? You guys raising hands and dancing. No, that's not happening, is it? So one day, there we go. All right. Follow the leader. I want us to broaden our understanding of what worship is. And when we do, we'll start to realize that this is one way for us to do it corporately, cool, but it's not exclusive to the things that happen here. And that it's really more about what's going on here. Another way we can grow in our relationship with God is by serving. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also. My Father will honor the one who serves me. There is something about serving that changes who we are. In Matthew 20:28, it points out, Jesus points out, I did not come here to be served, I came here to serve. And if we are following Jesus and he came to serve, what ought we be doing? Our mindset ought to be such that we are servants as well. If we do that and do it well and get our brain in the right spot, it changes us. Ever talk to somebody who's come back from a mission trip? I was out, what was I doing? I was meeting somebody at a restaurant in Frederick, and I saw just a couple weeks ago, they had come back from doing some flood disaster work in Kentucky. And she was, we just came back from doing this, blah, 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 blah. When people who come back from mission trips, you can't shut them up. They are excited. They can't stop talking. They are glowing with God. They glow like Moses when he got done hanging out with God. That is what that person found on a mission trip. When you see them and they're all bubbly and excited and glowing, they encountered God on their mission trip. That's what serving ought to be about. It's an opportunity for us to encounter the living God in acts of service. You don't have to go to Kentucky to do that. You can, but you also can encounter God downstairs hanging out with the kids. Sometimes, at the end of the day, I see people who've been working in kids, and they're like, we made it to the end. Right? It's a hard day. Maybe it was a hard day. Okay. I have seen people after a morning with the kids, this was the best ever. We had so much fun. We talked about Jesus. We talked about this. The kids really engaged. They were asking me questions. It was awesome. That person encountered God in their serving in the kids' ministry. You can encounter God serving in anything you're doing. Right, Ben James could be having a God moment while he's working through my slides every week. I want us to start thinking about our serving. What if when we advertise, we need help in kids, we need help for greeters, blah, blah, blah. And when we look at those advertisements, we see them and go, oh, the church has a need and maybe I got to do something to help fulfill the need of the church. I'm going to push back on that mindset. What if we're advertising these serving opportunities because we have a need? Everyone sitting in this chair has a need to find a way to serve God. And the things that we're doing, the opportunities we're advertising, to be able to donate clothes, to be able to go on a mission trip, to be able to serve in the kids, to be able to be a greeter, those are opportunities to meet our need to serve our God and to be able to encounter Him in those moments of serving. What if we started looking at those things that way? In the coming months, we're going to be walking through all four of these things. Ben James, could you go back to the slide with the four bullets of prayer, Bible study, worship? Thank you. I want you just to reflect on those things for a moment. I would love for you to just take a look at those four things and go, give God an opportunity to speak to you in this time we have with Him. Now, for some of us, we may be looking at the list and go, oh my goodness, I've never thought about this before. I'm not doing any of these things. I'm such a loser as a Christian. I need to start doing this and this and this and this and this. And overwhelm ourselves with all the things that we're not doing that we think we need to do. Don't do that. Maybe you're at a point where, man, I got lots of holes. I would love for you to pick one thing. Pick one area that you are going to start walking with God and let Him start to build your training patterns and routines so that you can grow in that discipline. Maybe you've been doing spiritual disciplines. Maybe all these things, you're like, meh, yep, I got it. Take a moment and let God's Spirit talk to you this morning. Where is one that maybe we need some tweaking? I tweak mine all the time. I'm never in the same place in my life, right? For a season, God wanted me to focus on Bible study. For another season, he might want me to focus on worship. Now it's like, you know, Dan, we got some work to do with prayer. And so he might be focusing on me with prayer. What is God speaking to you in your life right now? Everyone ought to come up with their own answer today. I would love for everyone just to say one thing that you leave here today with, the one thing that God has put on your heart so that you can start training to be the people God always meant for you to be. I would like to ask the band to come up. And while they are, I want you to take a moment. If you got your ink pens and you're a note taker, may write down something that you think God is speaking to you. And as we do this last song, just think, check your attitude and say, God, what is it that you want to say to me this morning? How is it you want me to build my life so that I become the person you always meant for me to be? Could you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. You do so many cool things for us and in us and through us. We don't deserve any of this honor, this pleasure, this joy, this opportunity. We don't deserve any of this. But you gave it to us. You invited us to it. You sent your Son to die on a cross to give us the opportunity to have a relationship with you and start thinking not about just the things we want, but the things you want. That we can start thinking about goals in God-sized ways. Lord, challenge us today. Give each of us a vision of what it is you want us to do, a vision of who you want us to become. Lord, help us get to a place so that we can be the people used by you the way you want. Help us know today that that journey starts with the disciplines we have to allow ourselves to be molded, transformed, and changed by you. In your name we pray. Amen.